Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another Mining Stock Education interview. This is a roundtable interview with some of my friends here. We are at the Beaver Creek Precious Metals Summit, and I'm joined by Trevor Hall, the host of Mining Stock Daily and the president of Clear Creek Digital.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Yep. Nick, the mining book guy, I appreciate you being here.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks for inviting me, Bill.
David Erfley, founder of the Junior Miner Junkie, one of my mining stock mentors, and I do want to say thank you to Nick and David for referring me so I could be here. This is my first year at Beaver Creek, but David, thanks for joining me.
Always great to talk to you, Bill. Thanks.
So, Dave, I'm going to throw the first question out to you. You've been here many years. I believe this conference has been going on about 8 years or thereabouts. Mm-hmm. How do you compare the vibe and what you're picking up on at this conference to previous conferences?
Well, the buy side is excited because of the opportunities. A lot of the sell side is a little nervous if they don't have a lot of cash. If you've got an early stage project, that's really good, and you've got a kind of a high share structure already, and you got a really low share price, and you need cash. That's not a real good situation to be in right now, but if you are a developer or an early stage explorer, and you have enough cash for the next 1 or 2 years, and you have some really good targets already planned out, and you got a nice district scale sized land package, and you're in a great jurisdiction, you're really happy right now.
Yeah, that's one of the things as I've met with a lot of these CEOs is I'm not really even entertaining a pre-revenue company unless they have at least a year and a half of cash, because we don't know where gold's going. Nick, what about you? You've been meeting with CEOs. You love to do the one-on-one meetings. What's the most insightful or interesting thing that you've learned thus far?
Honestly, this year, differently from last year, I was overloaded with company meetings. And this year, I decided, I'm going to schedule a few meetings in advance and try to mingle with people. It's been a revelation, not just the amount of interesting Aussies I've met, but even Kiwis. I'm surprised I met three guys from New Zealand, all really interesting. And so these guys are making a big trip to come over here, and they're like all sorts of stuff that I don't usually hear about. One guy does all sorts of drilling in West Africa and has insights I haven't heard from anyone else. Another guy who is basically on calls all night and like doing his private business and then working on mining stocks during the day. But the eccentric nature and just the fact that I don't think you would meet these guys at any other North American conference is just a huge plus for Beaver Creek. And while I haven't met any of the Chinese people, I know there's an increase there. So that global side and being able to mingle with those people, that's been a huge plus and something different this year.
Absolutely. What about you, Trevor? You've interviewed people for your own podcast, and for those listening on iTunes, I encourage you to just flip through and search for Mining Stock Daily and click subscribe to Trevor's podcast.
Thank you for that shameful plug, Bill.
No problem.
Just to kind of piggyback with what Nick said, I am really novice and new to this industry. I haven't been in it long. I obviously don't have a whole lot of discretionary capital into my investments as much as a lot of other people here. But the benefit to coming to Beaver Creek is, A, I actually get to meet a lot of the people behind the companies that I've been reporting on and sitting down with them and asking them some of the harder questions that I know the investors and listeners really want the answer to. So my approach has always been, I don't want to ask the typical questions. I want to ask the challenging questions and what's really going to set those projects apart and give a little bit more that maybe you're not going to get from other types of the discussions you find online. The nice thing as well is just mingling with the people. I mean, I know in the last number of years, I have followed the Joe Mazumdars. I have followed the Mickey Phelps. I have followed all these people who are the faces of junior mining investment advice, and the David Erfleys, and
nice save.
Thanks. Sorry, but it hasn't been until Beaver Creek where I've actually been able to walk up to them, shake their hands, and talk to them, and still ask those naive questions, mm-hmm. but get a heartfelt and educational answer. And so I know when I leave here this week, I am going to be better informed, better educated, and feel more, I know my portfolio is going to be in a good space.
And for the retail mining investors listening, this is something that I talked about with David the first time we spoke, and then our first interview, that going to these conferences is so crucial for your learning curve. We listen to the interviews, as you've mentioned, Trevor. I've bought thousands of dollars worth of books that I've read, but really nothing compares to sitting down with CEOs, rubbing shoulders with analysts while you're eating, and just talking about mining stocks. And it kind of coalesces all that information you might get from listening to an interview or reading a book. But, I mean, my knowledge is growing just by being here and interacting with all these people. David, I know that you've put out in your newsletter, because I subscribe to it, legal rumors, if I can call it that. When you go to a conference, David or anybody else, are there any rumors that you can legally share, or any insights that maybe we could share with this broader audience that couldn't be here?
Legal rumors. It's funny. I talk to these management teams, and a lot of them I'm already very familiar with. We have relationships, and I always ask, you know, you're telling me this? Can I say this? Can I say that? And they don't like to tell me things that I can't write in a newsletter, because they know that I write a public weekly column, and they know that I have a newsletter with a lot of subscribers. So I don't really know about telling you illegal rumors. I can't tell you that, but legal rumors. I mean, what kind of rumors are you looking for? Are you looking for
M&A,
something like that?
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything like that, but I can tell you this. I am expecting a high profile M&A to come out of this, and after the Denver Gold Forum conference. I would not be surprised to see a high profile merger or acquisition come out of these conferences. You know, this is where they get together to talk shop, mm-hmm. rub shoulders, and exchange ideas, and I really wouldn't be surprised to see that happen.
If I might bust in, Dave, when you say an M&A you might expect something to come out of this, does that mean like within the next week or in the next year?
I would say within the next week. You know, I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen. Don't quote me on that. But I said, right. I'm saying I wouldn't be surprised to see it happen.
So there could be an agreement to merge of something.
Right, some sort of agreement.
Something real soft but big.
Right. Okay. Something high profile, you know, because these management teams, you know, they've been around since the last top in the last bull market in 2010, 2011, where they made all these really bad mistakes and they bought at the top, and they know they need to replace their ounces, and they have a feeling that this is, if not the bottom, it's close to it. And there's a lot of companies that are on sale that have these high margin projects that we should consider acquiring. So we're going to go and we're going to discuss these possibilities with these management teams of these projects that we like. And that's why I'm saying it. I would not be surprised to see a deal come out of it.
I'm just going to add a quick point, which I think this is not realized by a lot of people who haven't been to Beaver Creek. Like, this is the place to go to be on the same level as the Gold Cores or the Barricks. I mean, they're doing the one-on-ones the same way we are, mm-hmm. and the companies take everybody just as seriously, but like, this is where the deals happen of any conference, I think, right. in the world. So it's like super serious, and I think that supports David's point. Like, the deals are being done here, and I thought that was super impressive the first time I came. Maybe some listeners already realized that, but no, they're all over the place. All the big companies are looking at these juniors.
Right, yeah. Absolutely.
So, David, you have your top 10 takeover candidates for your subscribers, and then you publicly released three companies via a Kitco article that are potential acquisition takeover targets. So coming out of a conference like this and the Denver conference in the next couple of days, would you monitor the 10 charts of those 10 companies and see if maybe news leaked out? And then if you see an uptrend in those charts, would that be, you know, a signal that,
sure,
that the average Joe could look for?
Absolutely. You always have, as an investor, you have your watch list of things you want to follow that you either want to acquire or you want to follow them for possible acquisition. You may not want to own them yourself, but you may want to follow them as a possible acquisition to stir up the space and spark it a little bit. So, yeah, absolutely. You start to see the share prices of some of these companies that are possible acquisition targets start to move for no reason. Mm-hmm. And that could be the reason.
Mm-hmm. And I might piggyback on that, David, because there's a couple of those companies that have been rumored as potential acquisition targets, right? In some of the conversations I've had, I've actually brought that question up to the CEOs, and they said, no, we want to grow. We don't want to be acquired. We want to be that next mid-tier major developer and producer of gold and silver and precious metals. So it's, I think, to kind of narrow that down, Beaver Creek really offers you the option to like ask those questions and get a feel with what management's saying. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of us could be wrong with right. the direction of the company, what sure. they want to do, right?
Yeah, plus they, if I, you have to put yourself in their shoes. If you asked me that question, I was a CEO, I'd say the same thing, even though I had the opposite view. Because if I told you something like that, I would sound desperate. I want to get top dollar for my company.
Sure.
And I do not want to sound like I'm trying to shop my company.
Right.
I would be saying exactly the same thing that this CEO told you.
Well, I think it's a friendly reminder though, mm-hmm. that acquisition isn't always the end game.
True.
Right?
True. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and there's CEOs I've asked this question, and I could tell they're genuine about, no, I want to build a company. Revival Gold is one of them. I know Hugh, and I know he wants to build a company. He does not want to be acquired. He's a company builder. He comes from a major, and he knows how to build a company. So
then there's the companies I mentioned to Trevor and David in an earlier conversation today. CEO of an exploration development company that has 1.6 million ounces of gold resource, and he just flat out told me, I thought I would have been acquired by now. So I'm just waiting to be acquired. It's got to be at the right price. So there's a range. Nick, you like Africa, and you invest in Asia. Any news you want to share or anything interesting you've discovered?
Oh, sure. Learned? Well, to be honest, without going into too much detail, I was taken aback by some of the negative comments I heard about West Africa, not all jurisdictions of West Africa, but from some very knowledgeable people. And it might be something that I share privately with, you know, later on, but that's the type of thing I don't think I would get at another conference. At the same time, I'm kind of on this kick with Namibia and Botswana, and I think it's amusing to, like, meet someone and ask them about Africa, and at first they're filling the stereotypes that I expect, like, oh yeah, I don't really want to touch Africa. But then when I start talking about Namibia, Botswana, they're like, oh yeah, those actually might be the only good places I don't have to worry about anything. So that's always kind of cool to get the feel there. But again, the Aussies often are very different and even more favorable than the other people. So that's kind of nice to see as well. And I guess quickly on Asia, I still like Mongolia a lot. They've had some issues, but there is a nice little Mongolia group of companies here, and there's a new one that I'm interested in. And I did enjoy going to the some of the presentations, because it's not just about the presentation, but it's about who's showing up to what. I was kind of surprised that so few people were at the Mongolian ones and so many people were at some of the West African ones. That's not necessarily a good or a bad thing, but it was very interesting to see kind of the people flow at the presentation. So that's something you can't get from home. Even though everyone listening, be aware you can see all of the archive presentations, and that's still a plus to show you the types of companies that are here.
Absolutely. Trevor or David, anything on jurisdictions that's come up through your conversations with people today? And yesterday?
You know, it seems like I came in thought I had a pretty good idea of action happening in Nevada, and it turns out I had not a clue. There is just so much happening in Nevada right now, and even Idaho. Mm-hmm. Idaho has come up in conversation after conversation. So I think I'm going to walk away feeling very confident where the U.S. mineral exploration market, not necessarily the market, but the activity is. I like a lot of plays that Nick is involved in. In fact, I own a couple some shares in company. We own shares in the same companies. But I think I will walk away almost agreeing with David's point that he's brought up to us. Like, there's a lot of great plays in the United States right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be really important. Really important. I think metals and minerals coming out of the United States is going to get more and more important. But the way we communicate that self-sufficiency as a country probably needs to change. And that gets into a bit more of a philosophical conversation, but I think it's pretty powerful right now.
One thing, I spoke to a CEO of a gold exploration development company in Idaho. One thing he did tell me with our current administration, that whereas before it took them 2.5 years for an exploration permit and a very thick application, it's a less thick application, and he got his current exploration permit in 10 months versus 2.5 years. So there is some streamlining that I got knowledge of firsthand by talking to a CEO regarding what's going on in Idaho. Do you have anything on jurisdiction?
Yes, I mean, that's why I like Idaho so much and have for a while now. Because all these majors, they walked away from these projects because of how difficult it was to do business there and to get permits. And you can't, fast track is not in the vocabulary in Idaho until now. It's back on the table. So these really intelligent management teams that some of them came from majors, like Hugh Agro from Revival. He knows the potential here, and he sees the opportunity and is going with it. And That's very exciting.
You know, it's really funny because I remember when Core, well, I don't remember, but I've heard stories when Core left Idaho. This, you know, people in the industry in Idaho were very, very upset. Mm-hmm. And Core moved their headquarters to Chicago. Mm-hmm. But it seems like now people in Idaho are really, really excited.
Absolutely.
They now realize they don't need that major
right.
in that position anymore. Like, they've got right. a lot of activity.
Right. And when Barrick came in and made that strategic deal with Midas, it just it put them on the map even more. It made it more visible.
David, you mentioned to me earlier in a conversation that we're in tax loss selling. When I brought up what should we expect for tax loss selling, and you're like, Bill, didn't you know we're already in it? So what's your expectation for the junior miners heading into the end of the year?
Well, you know, we're coming up on a very, very important watershed moment here when Fed Chair Powell comes out and speaks next Wednesday. We all know that he's going to raise, but we don't know the fate of the December rate hike, and if he waffles at all on possibly changing that dot plot to where we may not hike in December. You know, there's that huge short position in gold and silver right now that's just waiting for a spark to light that fuel to rocket the prices higher. So that is a potential catalyst for it to move higher. But if he's pretty much hawkish down the line, then I wouldn't be surprised to see gold hit that $1,125 level before the end of the year. So if that does happen, we might see some more pain in the shares. But on the flip side of that, the Vanguard selling is over from the reshuffle announcement. I'm pretty sure that's over. And the shares got sold down to where they were already trading at 1120 previously. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be very interesting. You're going to see more tax loss in the lesser names, right? But in the quality issues, you know, the quality juniors, I think the tax loss selling might have already taken place. Mm-hmm. So it's just going to be interesting to see how each company reacts to it. Me personally, I'm still maintaining a very large cash position to see what happens here after the fallout of this Fed meeting and into Q4. So it's going to be very interesting.
Nick, what about a cash position? How are you positioned percentage-wise right now between equities and cash?
Oh, so to be honest, I am almost always fully positioned. Like when a lot of cash to me is like 10% cash, 90% equities. Now, I think I've taken far more risks than I probably should have. Thankfully, my largest position by far has actually done well in this market, but I'm lightening up slightly. I do like a lot of names here. I'm still focused on the explorers. I have no reason to believe I want to go into optionality plays or even look at the producers and this and that. But I do think the end of this year could be an incredible opportunity. I didn't think we were going to get back. This was going to feel like the end of 2015, and now I do. And maybe this is the true bottom. It really is like a double bottom, and a few people have been saying that. I think David's been one of the people that's been on top of, not too many others, but I'm very excited to hopefully move some money from some of the lucky, profitable names I have into others. But that's what I'm always doing, just moving money around, mostly invested. It's a rare day when I have more than 10 or 20% cash.
I'd like to highlight one company, if we could, David, in a conversation, and Trevor, we had earlier today, we talked about America's Silver Corporation. Dave, could you kind of give an overview of how, let's say there is the double bottom that Nick talks about, and then we see silver dip below $14, and silver goes down to $13.50, where it was in December of 2015. How might one want to play and begin to invest in a company like America's Silver Corporation?
Well, I think 1364 is the number on silver that it hit in December of 2015, and there's a lot of stops right there. So if silver gets below that level, I think you're going to see a stop run. So any company with the word silver in it is going to get hit. I don't care what it is. And that'll be the opportunity. You want to have your list ready, and I think that'll be a fantastic buying opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And as you pointed out to me earlier, America's Silver Corporation is not high grading right now,
right,
the way other silver miners are high grading. So a lot of that future upside is still there. They got a lot of ammo that they can use when the silver price really begins to ramp up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Trevor, any insights you'd like to share? Final thoughts with the listeners?
You know, I think I always try to direct my conversations as the novice investor, somebody who's maybe just starting to get into this industry. And I always advise it, and I try to teach, you know, remind myself, is to be smart. Be as smart as you can with the money you're investing. You know, on a personal level, I've got responsibilities at home that I need to care for. And so what I have invested in the market is not anything that, you know, I can do without it. And so I think that's a good approach to anybody looking to get into this market. Please don't overdo it. Be smart with your money and ask a lot of questions. Ask a lot of questions. I mean, I've asked the three of you so many questions over the last 2 years, and you know, I'm just appreciative for everything. So I try to take that all in and just be smart.
Nick, final thoughts and insights?
Oh, Trevor's advice was excellent, but I think I'm going to keep it kind of simple. I mean, this is the go-to conference. I should do a big thank you shout-out to Jessica and yes, Karen, who organizes, and everyone Absolutely. Else who helps. This is the most polished conference. They're on top of everything. I actually had some scheduling issues. Like, Karen was on top of right away. I've had issues at other conferences with that same stuff.
Agreed.
And also thank you again to David and Jordan Roy Byrne from the Daily Gold, who unfortunately isn't here. Just like you thank me and David, I thank them for inviting me. This is the place to go if you're a serious investor. Not everyone can come, but like, if you're up for it, if you're serious about this, you too can get an invitation, and I can't say enough good things about Beaver Creek.
David, final thoughts and advice?
I echo both of their sentiments, and also, you need to have a checklist. Mm-hmm. You need to have a checklist on what a company should be doing and what you are looking for in a company, because if you have that checklist, you can eliminate 95% of these juniors. If you have a really hardline, serious checklist of what you're looking for, and if you need one, you could go on my website. I gave a presentation in the Cambridge House show last May, and the presentation was titled "How to Build a Successful Junior Portfolio and Maintain It," and my checklist is on there. I'm not saying do exactly what I do, but it's a template to start with, right? And it works for me. Everybody needs to come up with their own checklist, their own template that works for them.
And gentlemen, I appreciate you joining me for this roundtable discussion. And for the listener, you can find Trevor at clearcreekdigital.com. Again, he's the host of the Mining Stock Daily podcast. Nick is at Mining Book Guy all over the internet.
Yeah, just search for Mining Book Guy on Google. You'll find me.
And David is the Junior Miner Junkie, juniorminerjunkie.com. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you for listening to this Mining Stock Education podcast. Please subscribe and share with like-minded investors. Visit us on the web at miningstockeducation.com for more resources on precious metals and natural resource investing. At our website, you can also sign up for our free newsletter for interview transcripts, stock picks, and more. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be considered personal legal or investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell securities or any other product. We make every effort to be accurate, but the information presented is not to be considered infallible. It may contain errors, and we offer no inferred or explicit warranty. If personal advice is needed, consult a qualified legal, tax, or investment professional. Do not base any investment decision on the information contained on miningstockeducation.com, our podcasts, or videos. Make sure you always conduct your own thorough due diligence before investing. Realize that we may hold equity positions in or be compensated by some of the companies we feature and therefore are biased and hold an obvious conflict of interest. For our full disclaimer, please visit our website.